Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We know we have what it takes to be great. We still have a lot of the players. We've brought in a lot of great players that have been really good at other places. So we know that we have what it takes. It's about coming together now and finding a way to do that. We've had spurts here and there, offensively, defensively, special teams, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's about coming together as a team. Because in this league, it's not about good players, it's about good teams. And we have to do that, and we're going to have to find a way. We have a tough schedule, and we got to win now. I mean, at the end of the day.
The voice of Pat Mahomes. Wouldn't it be nice if a quarterback in Washington, D.C. was having the season Patrick Mahomes was having, and we were all disappointed in their performance and worried about whether or not they were going to get right in the coming weeks ahead? So what happens when you're a perennial MVP and you're turning the football over a few too many times. As we welcome you back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, we welcome in our audience in Richmond that will be with us for the next 3 hours on AM 910 and FM 105.1. To the rest of you up here in and around D.C. on 106.7 and coast to coast on the Odyssey app, we appreciate you. It's a Football Friday on G&D presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. It's time to scout the opponent, find out about the Chiefs, go in detail on Kansas City. Alex Gold, Middays, Kansas City Radio on the Chiefs flagship station, joins us now, our Odyssey partner and insider and a guy I work with on weekends. Alex, thanks for jumping on G&D. So let's just start with 2-3. How worried are people?
Yeah, this is an unusual spot in Kansas City. People are concerned, certainly, about this defense, and understandably so, and whether or not this window that has been perceived to be open, wide open perhaps, in Kansas City is going to be slammed shut because of this defense. It reminds people from 2018 and the MVP season that Mahomes had of 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, and as we all know, they lost in that AFC title game to the New England Patriots and just could not stop anybody. And guess what? This defense is worse than the 2018 defense. So that's where people are at, because the expectation in Kansas City, as long as Mahomes is their quarterback with Andy Reid and these core pieces, it's Super Bowl or bust, and it's going to be a lot tougher to get there than ever before with the realization here in Kansas City that the number one seed is already over. There's no chance at getting that.
Why is the defense this bad? I mean, we know bad defense here in town, with all due respect, Alex. We're watching it play out before our eyes. I see what's going on here, but I can't believe it's this bad. I thought they'd be 20th, which I think is good enough with that offense.
No question. It's been a perfect storm. I think there's a lot of factors. Number one, if you're just looking outside the organization, what has happened, I think you guys have noticed it around the league. Number one, scoring, it's already on pace to be the second highest scoring season in NFL history. We're seeing third down conversions up. You're seeing teams go for fourth downs more, especially against Kansas City. So you're already asking what is a weakness and a bad defense to get stops. Now you're adding an additional stop that they need on an additional down to get a stop on fourth down. That's the outside the organization that has led to this perfect storm to why they are historically bad 5 weeks through the NFL season. But then it's because of the personnel, plain and simple. This is not a scheme issue to this point with Steve Spagnuolo as their defensive coordinator. They have so much money tied up on the defensive line. You've got Frank Clark, who's the seventh highest paid player in football. He's getting paid like a quarterback, defensive player, like a quarterback, and he has brought nothing to the table. He's been out for a couple of games. When he has played, he's been a non-factor. They go out and they bring in Jaron Reed to be a nose tackle for them from Seattle. They pay him, you know, like 1 year, $5.5 million. We're looking for him around Kansas City. He's on milk cartons right now. He's been non-existent. Chris Jones, they move him to the outside to be a pass rusher. That has failed miserably. And so you just go through, and it's personnel not performing with what the financial ramifications have been, with the cap being tighter on this organization, given the fact they don't have Mahomes on a rookie deal. They have Travis Kelce obviously getting a new contract a year or so ago. So it's just been this perfect storm. Plain and simple, the personnel isn't there for this defense to make the jump that is needed for them to potentially be good enough.
And Alex, that's why people are anticipating that Taylor Heinicke can have a pretty good performance throwing the football, and that Washington's offense can put up some yards and points and maybe just stay within striking distance, which is often the case, which is why the Chiefs cover so rarely at this point. But as we talked to Alex Gold out there in Kansas City, who discusses the Chiefs every day on the radio to scout the opponent, let's pivot to the offense. Why is Patrick Mahomes turning the ball over so much more this year?
It goes back to the defense. It's he's pressing. It's plain and simple. He's pressing because the idea in his mind, even if you won't admit it necessarily publicly, although Andy kind of has at least talked about him maybe forcing some things. He said it's because of the defense, but the idea that you got to score on every possession, that your defense is not going to get stops, that you have to be perfect. And so he's forced some things. There's no doubt. And the idea that that there's always a big play opportunity with Mahomes, that's the case, but at sometimes you got to take what's underneath, and he hasn't done that. And so there's been some bad luck probably in some of these passes that should have been caught and all that. These are breaks that went the way for the Chiefs, you know, last season. They haven't. I mean, you have some guys making some great plays defensively, but it all goes back to the idea that he feels like he has to score on every play. And it's funny. I heard the way you led into the interview to begin with, and his cut, and then also what you mentioned about the numbers and how many teams would still love to have those numbers that Mahomes is having. It's weird because he's under a microscope more than ever before here in Kansas City, and yet he's still on pace for over 5,000 yards, and he's on pace for 56 touchdowns. And so it's nuts, but that is kind of this perfection and needing to be almost perfect with the defense that they have in Kansas City.
Besides Kelce and Hill, who can be relied upon more often than not? Like, so let's say you actually face one of these good defenses, and I know like they're rare, few and far between at this point in the NFL because that's not how the rules are set up, but let's say you got a defense that can actually take a couple things away, like a mid-2000s Belichickian Patriots group. Who's the third guy?
Yeah, that's been the number one question all offseason heading in. Everybody wanted to know who would be that third guy. Sammy Watkins, of course, in Baltimore, who steps up. You know, everybody wanted it to be Mecole Hardman, a guy that they drafted in the second round a couple years ago. It's clearly not him. He's turned into more of a gadget player, to be completely honest. Then it was maybe it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, their running back. He's going to be more involved in the passing game. They compared him to Brian Westbrook. In fact, they said the organization, when they drafted him, he might be better than Brian Westbrook. That hasn't happened. Now he's on IR. Then they go out and bring in Josh Gordon. And that's a big what if, as we all know, if in terms of eligibility, in terms of if he's going to be able to bring anything. And this week we'll probably see a little bit increase in snaps from him. He only had 9 snaps against the Buffalo Bills. And so to answer your question, there isn't a clear third option. I mean, they're hoping Josh Gordon can be that third option. But other than that, it's a combination of guys. It's whoever the running back is healthy that week. It's randomly you might get a little bit of performance from a guy like Byron Pringle, who people around the league have no reason to know who the hell that is. I mean, that's been their issue, if there is any offensively, besides the fact that the big play hasn't been there this year. And in large part, it's because you can take away Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill and kind of put a lid on this offense at times.
With the injury to Clyde Edwards-Helaire this past week, Alex, how does that change things for them, if at all? Like, do they run enough for that to matter a lot?
So I don't think if the Chiefs lose on Sunday or if they lose against the Giants in a couple weeks, for example, it's not going to be because Clyde, you know, is not out there playing. They've got Darrell Williams, their number two back, who actually in the role he's had, he's probably more of their strictly runner. Jerick McKinnon they brought in, and hopefully he's someone that is involved in the passing game a little bit. But I don't think it's all that big of a deal for what they want to do. They've been a little bit more balanced this year because of what we discussed, where defenses are sitting back and not blitzing. It's amazing how few of times Patrick Mahomes has been blitzed this year. It's like 10% of the time, which is by far the lowest percentage in the NFL. And and you would think that'd be a disaster for defenses, but it's worked because they've been able to just kind of put a lid on the big plays. And so Andy's been a little more balanced running the ball, but I don't think the Clyde injury really changes a whole lot with this offense for the short term.
Alex Gold with us here, 610 Sports in Kansas City, breaking down the Kansas City Chiefs. So again, defensively, Tyrann Mathieu is an excellent football player. There are enough guys, I feel like, I mean, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, that maybe he's not this year or something like that, but I feel like there are a couple pass rushers, a guy that can defend, you can move them all over the place to break things up. I feel like the recipe should be better. Is this looked at right now as, hey, here's a chance to get right against a team with not many weapons? It's basically Terry McLaurin. He's got a gimp hamstring. Nobody else scares you. No tight end. Let's get home against Taylor Heineke and company. Is that kind of the feeling around there this week?
The game as a whole, yes. I'm sure it's probably how you guys feel about your offense against the Chiefs' defense there in D.C. I mean, yes, that's definitely the thought process. But right now, people are so down on this defense. They have no faith. People are expecting Taylor Heineke to throw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, that's how people view this defense right now. And you're not wrong. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu is still one of the best safeties in football. But because of the lack of pressure and the fact that their other safety, Dan Sorensen, who has been – like target number one in Kansas City, people want him off the team. I mean, it's been a disaster for him as a safety, and maybe he'll see a few less snaps this week. Tyrann Mathieu's been taken out of the game. He's even acknowledged it, that teams just aren't allowing him to even make these plays because they don't have to attack anywhere near him. There's plenty of other opportunities. This is a slow defense. I would expect Washington, if they continue what everybody else has been doing, they're going to find guys just out in the flat in space. These Chiefs linebackers are slow. The tackling has been terrible. There's going to be plenty of opportunity for the Washington offense against the Chiefs. So, no, people defensively aren't looking at this as a get-right game. It's people thought that about the Philadelphia Eagles a couple weeks ago, and Jalen Hurts, in a losing effort, still put up over 340 yards passing on them.
Alex Gold, 610 Sports, Kansas City. Sounds like an over because neither of these defenses are going to be getting off the field.
54.5. Often. Is that a first half number or total?
Right.
Exactly. Right.
I wanted to ask you about the division before we let you go, if we could. So the Patriots got to just own their division for a bunch of years because there was never another great quarterback for Tom Brady to deal with. And Mahomes and the Chiefs, I think people thought, well, this is going to be an 8 or 9 or 10 year thing if they do this right. But the Chargers have a great thing going. I think Brandon Staley's a star. Justin Herbert's the real deal. Telesco is a quality GM. The Chargers are 4-1. Denver's a frisky 3-2. The Raiders might be fraudulent, but they're 3-2 right now. And somehow Kansas City's in last place. And all three of those teams have a better net point margin than the Chiefs, I believe, this season. What's the state of the West in the big picture for KC moving forward?
I'm with you 100% on the Chargers. I love their quarterback, Justin Herbert. He is the real deal. I think the consensus by the end of the season, if not next season, will be he's a top 6 or 7 quarterback in the league. I'm a big fan of his, and I love their head coach. It feels weird saying that here in Kansas City, but he's likable. I love everything that they're doing out there, and that's really the only concern in Kansas City is the Chargers. People aren't taking the Broncos or the Raiders seriously at all. It's viewed as, okay, this is going to be the Chiefs and the Chargers for a while because the two teams have their quarterbacks figured out. And yeah, Tom Brady didn't have, he had J.P. Lossman in the NFC, or the AFC East to deal with. You know, he had guys like that. He didn't have a Justin Herbert and a Mahomes. And so the idea that the Chiefs window being wide open in terms of being the team in the AFC West, the team in the AFC, that portion of it has closed. They're always going to be in the mix still. I mean, they're going to have as good of a chance as anybody. But, yeah, nobody calculated the fact that the Chargers with a new head coach this early. It's a year earlier than everybody thought here, at least in Kansas City, that the Chargers would be a problem in the division. People understood that that was coming, that that was probably next year. But the fact that it's already happened here in 2021 is the bigger stunner for Chiefs fans, that this division is going to be an uphill climb the rest of the season, and they're going to obviously have to win out in L.A., when they play again later this year to have any chance of winning the division.
Alex, thanks for jumping on with us, man. Enjoy the weekend and enjoy your Monday morning topic of how much better do you feel now, Chiefs fans? It's going to be a lot of fun for you.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
We'll see you, dude.
There's Alex Gold, KC Radio with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Do you realize that the Kansas City Chiefs have not had a losing season since 2012? Do you know what that must feel like as a fan base?
Yes, actually.
By the way, they won the Super Bowl in 2019. So think of it this way. They won the Super Bowl when the Nationals did. Okay, that'll be our perspective. They lost in the Super Bowl last year, so they've been in two straight. Before that, they were in the conference championship game, and they probably would have won that game if the overtime rules weren't stupid, and Patrick Mahomes got to touch the football. But it just so happened the Patriots got the ball, went down, and scored, so they lost that game. This is their resume since 2012. 14 wins, Super Bowl. 12 wins, Super Bowl. 12 wins, conference championships. 10 wins, 12 wins. 11 wins, 9 wins, 11 wins. Washington has not won 11 games since it last won a Super Bowl in 91.
The only team with that distinction, by the way. Everybody else has won at least 11.
The Chiefs have done it 5 of the last 6 years and 6 times since 2013. I just can't even imagine. Sometimes when we have these hosts on from other markets, and again, I do shows with Alex on the weekends for BetQL. He's a good dude, and we chat ball all the time. But I just think people don't get what it's like.
No, they don't get it. So I
like they're 2-3, and they're annoyed by it. Now, if this team hadn't won the division last year, they'd be 2-3, and we'd be like, dude, how about 2-3?
Here we go, right?
Get to 8 wins this year. This is fun.
So I did a spot on KC Radio. They're going to play it on their pregame show on actually the rival station. I didn't tell Alex, but his rival, I went on with him. And he was like, fans, you're a little bit concerned about 2-3. And I was like, Kansas City fans, listen to my words. Who is your quarterback? Pat Mahomes. Everything will be fine. I promise you. Everything will be just fine.
Who's your coach?
Andy Reid.
Hall of Famer.
You'll be just fine.
Andy Reid.
And I said, our guy is at the podium yelling at reporters like they're 2-15 already. And they're not. They're 2-3. Our owner, Imbroglios, our fan base doesn't come to games before all this stuff happened. I'm like, you guys, your 2-3 is rose petals. It's whatever that really nice smell is when like ladies have hot perfume on and it's like, what is that? Is that jasmine? That's your 2-3. Our 2-3 is dung. Old, sun-dried dung.
Did the DEA raid your facility last week?
No, they didn't.
Do you have a head trainer?
Yeah, we do.
Do you have an assistant to the head trainer?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we do.
When you retire a jersey of one of the most popular players in team history, do the fans find out about it before the last minute? Don't tell me about your 2-3, Kansas City.
No, your 2-3 is not the same as ours.
Guys.
Ron.
When Andy Reid's asked about the defense stinking up the joint, does he throw 7 guyses at you?
Guys.
Can I hear our big song that we debuted? We haven't even heard it since the original Total Request Live world debut. I mean, you just put it right back on the shelf. Here we go.
It is catchy.
Let's pick up the energy in here a little bit. This was the Ron Rivera hit track, Guys.
Well, you guys really want to go there, don't you? Guys. Well, you guys really want to go there, don't
you?
Guys, thank you, Darius, for that little pick.
When are you going to come out with the second song on the album? Draw Me a Map. When do we get that? I want the next track. Is track number 2 Draw Me a Map? Or do we want to go with...
Interesting and important, because it's time to get the self... That's the title of the album. Don't make what's interesting important.
Right. No, that's too long of a name. I think that's a great question. Yeah. I think the album's going to be called...
Interest or Important.
Well, it's got to be Interesting or Important. That's not bad.
Draw Me a Map?
I want Draw Me a Map. I think that's catchier. Because I think the album cover is Rivera standing on a map.
With arms spread wide.
Yeah.
Off the starboard bow style. Yeah.
Draw Me a Map.
Draw Me a Map is pretty good.
And that would be your single, basically? So
that's your second track. That's your second single.
But I understand if you want interesting or important made, Darius can get in the lab with a couple musicians and get it done. I have faith in our music producer.
Track four, kind of a little bit of a B-side, will become appreciated later off of Greatest Hits.
Exactly right.
You know?
800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to the Gambit DC listener lines. You guys giving the WFT a chance this weekend. Can we even try to write a script next for how they would beat the Chiefs? You're listening to The Fan. Caps tickets could be yours just by listening at 425. 1 hour from now, right here on Grant and Danny. 2 hours from now, 525, Gabe Taylor, Sean's little brother, Safety at Rice, joins the show. Sean Taylor's jersey will be retired this weekend, we found out yesterday. And at 6 o'clock, Santana Moss, one of Taylor's best friends here in Washington, on the team when he was playing for the football team. 425 Caps tickets, 525 Gabe Taylor, 6 o'clock Santana Moss. Great show planned for you today. Vincent Akakik is not feeling good about the matchup with the Chiefs, huh, Vince?
No. No chance that we win this game. Every chance in the world that the Chiefs get back on track throughout our years of being Redskin fans or Washington football fans. Y'all know teams are doing bad. They come here, they play us, they get their season back on track. And they go on to, you know, make the playoffs and win Super Bowls and all that good stuff. I do want to say one thing. Yesterday, in paying homage to Sean, Grant, you talked about how there would never be another Sean Taylor just because the way the league is played now, you know, safeties and players can't, you know, be heat-seeking missiles like Sean used to be.
Yeah.
I want to pose to you that I do believe that Sean was on his way to going from heat-seeking missile to center field ball hawk. And I think the Green Bay game, the last game that he played in, was a perfect example of that. If you remember that game, and I'm sure you
Oh, it was amazing, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that game yesterday. He had his hands on five passes, could have had five picks.
Yes, yes. And I think at that point, Sean had already put the fear of God in everybody in the league. He didn't have to make anybody think he was going to hit them anymore.
You're breaking up.
Great call, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the most impressive games I've ever seen by a defensive back. On consecutive plays, he had his hands on a football on both sidelines, opposite sidelines on two straight plays.
Yeah, it wasn't Taylor Heinicke throwing him either. It was Brett Favre throwing the football.
Absolutely insane. Steve is in Houston with us. He is on the Odyssey app listening. Steve, I know you wanted to chime in on Sean Taylor. You can do that in a second, but what do you make of the matchup first?
We suck, and then all of the Chiefs fans would get some of the towels. So there's my analysis. Don't need Logan Paulson. No one. There it is. We suck.
Man. You don't need the film study.
I hear it, Steve. I hear it, dude. Oh.
Oh, boy.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
Yes. Jeez. I smell what you're cooking. Woo.
But all right, so you called in about the Sean Taylor situation. What do you got?
I did. Yo, damn. You know, it's levels to apathy. I think while I was on hold, just the apathy just kept on sinking and sinking. And I was like, I don't even know what to say now. Everybody's always said it. But I'll say this. It's just like, you know, could they fix this? Yes, they could. You know, as terrible as Dan Snyder is, he has to understand, and he's fully aware of the feedback, right? We can give him the benefit of the doubt. Of course, he sees it. Tonya Snyder sees it. Jason Wright's communicating with them. So could he fix it? Could he possibly get the Jets, you know, the Redskins planes down there, or charter a flight for those guys or the family? Because I've been hearing stories about with the family traveling to San Antonio, then leaving here, bouncing here, connecting, so all of this potential travel. But it's just like the thing with, like, when they say when you go out with somebody who's really well-to-do, millionaire, do they have to tip an absorbent amount? No, they don't, right? But just because they have it, but Dan Snyder has it, it's just like, dude, you have totally bomb, you know, the entire franchise and everything. Why don't you just do this one good one, one solid, reset this whole thing, and you know, just do it the right way.
So your team postponed this event.
Appreciate
something
you.
Something we talked about yesterday.
It's too late now. I mean, if they were going to do that, they should have done it yesterday. Well, said, oh my God, mea culpa.
Yeah, they're not postponing it. I never thought they would.
Full steam ahead.
As of the right statement yesterday, there was no chance of that because you would have had to do it previous to the statement, to your point. I just don't believe this is the one time you'll probably ever hear me. It's not even defending. I think that's too strong of a word. Maybe give the benefit of the doubt to, or in any way kind of give a positive.
Benefit of the doubt, I think, is fair. Yeah.
We overused it yesterday. I was looking for something else.
No, I know.
I don't need to. Like, give a positive possibility to Dan Snyder. But I believe that Sean Taylor is important enough to him. Like, this guy, when someone's passed or something's happened with players that he was close with and had relationships with, he's sending his plane there. You take my private jet, Pierre Garçon, go deliver what you need to where you're going out of the country to take care of people. Hey, Robert Griffin, I'm paying for your entire honeymoon. By the way, that pissed a lot of people off in the locker room. But, you know, that kind of thing. Like, when he's got a player he likes, everybody knows it. And he makes it very clear that you're one of his favorites. Sean Taylor was one of his favorites. So, if there's actually some legitimacy to the family struggling to get flights or whatever, like, they don't need to be flying Southwest. They can jump on his bird. He's got a plane he can send him, and he would. I just believe that. So, that's why we can ask Gabe about it. But I don't know. I have a hard time believing, like, someone in the immediate family is not going to be able to get here because they told him last second. Like, Snyder would send the plane, I would hope. And if not, then we should bash him for the rest of the show because outrageous. Kevin's in Arlington. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think even though I'm going to be at the Chargers game, I think it's going to be a shootout. I, you know, obviously bet the over, but given how poorly both teams defend, I think you can even expect, you know, a bounce back game from Heinicke, although it is disappointing to hear that McLaurin is banged up as well. So, but I don't know. For some reason, I just feel like someone else is going to step up. I feel there's going to be, you know, over 60 points scored in the game. The only point I wanted to make about Jason Wright, you know, whether it was Dan, I think it was a hostage statement, the president's brief, but whatever. This is why he would do it. It's his job to protect the shield. It's his job to protect the owner. And, you know, I've heard that Jason might be groomed for a future NFL commissioner position, you know, down the road. And he wouldn't throw all that away by throwing Dan under the bus and saying, I have nothing to do with this. So it's very plausible that he would take this bullet, in my opinion. So just wanted to add that because it seemed like someone was saying earlier that, you know, why would he put his credibility at risk, his integrity at risk? Well, his job.
Yeah.
Right now is, yeah.
He took this job knowing that you would have to do that. Yeah, I don't believe for one second that he wouldn't. That's the job. That's why you get paid. I don't know what he gets paid. It probably is.
Roger Goodell does it for the other owners, where you got to shovel the you-know-what.
I mean, you're a president of a team. That's like million-plus dollar stuff
year.
And listen, for a reason. You get paid a lot of money to deal with yesterday. You get paid a lot of money so that when everything is crumbling around you, you say, my bad, whoops, I'm sorry. And it's not always your fault. So I don't for one second think he wouldn't do that, Danny, but I happen to think in this case that it was less Dan Snyder forced them to do it and more they did a really bad job planning this.
Well, when you're the public face, right? Now, Bruce Allen did this poorly, but you know, when you're the guy that this organization has trotted out, right? Whoever the White Knight happens to be. In this case, now it's Jason Wright, but previously it was Scott McLuhan or Brian LaFamina or other guys, right? Who have come in to fix things, to be the savior. When you do that, part and parcel with that is something bad happens, you got to own that too. Something good happens, you're right there and you're the salesman. You're the person that's out there to be Teflon to prevent Dan Snyder from having to deal with the actual day-to-day ire, anger, vitriol, complaints of the fans. That's why Jason Wright does this. Point two is Jason Wright could be making a whole bunch of money doing something else entirely. That guy could write his own ticket. There isn't a company in America that wouldn't say, yes, please, come on down for multiple millions of dollars to run our whole thing because you're awesome. He could do whatever he wants. This is on the way to something else.
He
right? Whether that's commissioner of the NFL, whether that's some other kind of super high-ranking role, he's on this track. So, yeah, if you turn your back on an owner, how are you going to work for the other owners? So people are saying, a question is integrity. I don't at all. But just according for kind of what I'm talking about here, the idea that he wouldn't be out there to deal with the arrows as they come in on this one, if he says, screw it, I quit, this is all Dan Snyder's fault, I'm out, well, now this path that he's on to be the highest ranking executive possible potential in the NFL is out the window. Because when you turn your back on an owner, you're out of the club.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know if his path is to be a commissioner or not. I've never heard that before Kevin said it. I mean, it stands to reason that a guy who's in his 30s, who's a team president, has broken that much ground. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, he could do anything.
I think he'll be out of football and like running for office or something. I mean, this is a person who's got a bright future. But regardless, his job right now, this second, and he gets paid a lot to do it, is to make sure that Dan Snyder doesn't look bad, by and large. And so when he says this was on us and deflects and defends, you have to wonder. And you're able to sit there in that chair, Danny, and suggest, well, maybe this is just Dan being Dan. His whole job is, because 99 times out of 100, it's like a boy who cries wolf thing. 99 times out of 100, he's going to say, this wasn't Dan, this wasn't Dan. We meant it this way. Trust me, guys. And he's just saying what he's supposed to say. There are occasionally times where they're going to be telling the truth, too. Maybe this is one of those times where it wasn't on Dan. Julie Donaldson was on our sister station here in town with Reese and was asked about the Taylor family coming to D.C. and the possibility of postponing the event. And it sounds like the family had something to do with it not being postponed. Maybe they didn't want it postponed. Let's listen to this.
Well, it's never boring around these parts, right? It's unfortunate. And again, this is one of the reasons why we've made so many changes. And it's definitely unfortunate when you have things from yesterday that are bubbling up and you find us in the center of all of it. But I'll tell you this, for everybody that's in this building that's working, they see it, they hear it, they're a little bit kind of like confused or frustrated about being in the middle of it, but we also know we're so busy, we have jobs to do, and the fan base deserves us to give them the best that we can do with the staff that we have for what we are doing today. So, yeah, there's a lot of outside noise of stuff that's going on, but we really just want to make sure we get today right. And when it comes to, you know, Sean Taylor, I'll tell you this, nobody wanted to piss off the fans, you know, with that. This is something we wanted to do to celebrate him, to celebrate his life. His family is in town. They've been planning for this, emotionally gearing up for this for months. And, you know, we asked them, I said, hey, can we postpone it? And they want it to go on, and they want to celebrate it as it is. So it's unfortunate that, you know, it played out as it did, you know, but here we are now.
Now, Julie, that's actually...
Oh, yeah, you can tell in my voice it's been a week, yes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So that was Julie Donaldson with Reese Waters earlier today, I believe, discussing the idea of a postponement, which we hadn't heard from a team official yet.
No, we had.
But it sounds like, according to Julie, and we haven't heard this, they tried to postpone it. They asked the family, which is what they should have done. We said yesterday.
Yes.
Ask the family. If they want it to go on, then it goes on. If they're willing to postpone it or think that that makes sense, then postpone it. So no problem with not postponing it if that's not what they want. At the crux of this, though, is you heard again that the family has known for months about this event. I don't think that's in dispute at this point. Everyone keeps saying that the family has known for a long time. The first thing I heard when I was talking to people yesterday in Ashburn, hey, how long has this been in the works? Months and months. When did the family find out? They found out months ago that his jersey was being retired, or that you were going to have some type of
celebration
during an alumni event when all the other players are back. You were going to go out on the street and take some pictures and do whatever the street rededication is.
Yeah.
Those are very, very different things, and we still haven't really gotten a great answer on that. 800-636-1067 is the number. One thing that is going to bother me on Sunday is that Joe Gibbs won't be there. I will say that. I just think he was so integral and so important and so vital
to
getting
through. He was the shepherd for all that, man.
That process, that you almost feel like if it was during the NASCAR playoffs on a Sunday where there was a race, it should have been a date that was just thrown out immediately. Like, those are the two guys for this fan base. It's Joe Jackson Gibbs and it's Sean Taylor, man. And for Joe not to be there is going to sting a little bit. You want to be able to see him helping to celebrate Sean Taylor's life on Sunday. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
We've been talking with them about this for months. They've been building up for it for weeks. They're in town. They're excited about it. They're happy that this is taking place, that this is what we're doing. But how do you at this point, you know, I mean, hindsight's 2020, but how do you at this point, when the family says they want it to go on, tell them, you know, no? And I understand the fan base is also an extension of the family of the team. You know, and there are no excuses. I think it's just something that became a very unfortunate situation. Jason Wright put out a president's brief on it, and he says he feels sick to his stomach. Everybody here feels sick to their stomach on it, but I don't think words will really do anything to justify where we're at.
That was Julie Donaldson with Reese Waters on our sister station, the Team 980 today. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. So they wanted to postpone it, and they went to the family, and the family wanted it to go on. It should go on. I mean, it's awful that the family, frankly, was put in that position.
Yeah, we've done that dance before, haven't we, with them, with the team?
We'll talk to one of the family members who's closest to Sean, his little brother Gabe, who's a safety at Rice, coming up a little later today at 5:25, so we can get some insight on just kind of how this came about and how many family members will be here and what exactly is going on. We're giving away Caps tickets at 4:25. Man, would that have been an awful phone call to make, by the way. And who made it? Was that a Jason Wright call? Was that someone that works for him? You got to call, I guess, Pedro, Pete Taylor, Sean's dad, and say, hey, I don't know if you guys understand what's going on here, but the fan base is really hurt because we didn't tell anybody until Friday that we're retiring the jersey. Are we able to postpone? Like, can you imagine that conversation?
Well, yeah, but then now, you know, you get a huge section of the fan base that wants it postponed, and now the team's going, well, it's not our fault. The family wants it to keep going. So now, again, they shouldn't be in that position. I need you not to tell me that, no, this is at the insistence of the family. So, like, you guys are just passerbys in this entire thing. It just sort of, whoopsie-daisy, it just, they can't, they're trying to get out of their own way, and they can't. They're just stumbling to themselves.
I will push back some in that nothing you said is wrong. But when you screw up this bad, there's like nothing you can say or do that's not going to annoy people. You see what I'm saying? So when Jason Wright apologizes and he comes out, profusely apologized.
Yeah, he did well.
There's still three or four things in there that I just bang my head against the wall and go, are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, Julie, in the same statement where you're saying you can't possibly just try to step to the side and say this isn't your guy's fault. I mean, she said that. She's like, look, there's nothing we can do now that we messed up. I mean, she basically said that. But at the same time, she referenced that the family wants it to go on. But yeah, we're all screaming that we wanted it postponed. So is it important that they at least acknowledge they thought about postponing it? Maybe there's a better way to do it. Maybe you say, hey, we looked into postponing it. We weren't able to pull that off. Maybe that's the better way to do it so that you're not saying the family is why you're not postponing it. Let's go to Rich in Gainesville. Hey, Rich. How are you?
Hey, great show, guys. I got a script for how the Washington football team beats Kansas City.
Go for it.
All right, fourth quarter, in a controversial move, Kansas City goes for it on fourth down near midfield, and Payne and Chase Young stop them. And
all right.
Washington takes over. They're down. They score. They go up by 4 points, and then with 3 minutes left, Kansas City's driving. They get down to the Washington 35 with a minute left, and in a crazy controversial play, they throw a screen pass, and Washington players stand by. They don't do anything, and the guy scores. There's no broken tackles, no missed tackles. It's just they just let him go. And now Washington gets the ball with a minute left and two timeouts.
This is very specific.
Down
this is
by
such a wacky bit.
Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're down two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down by two. Heinicke plays hero ball. Couple of last-second dump-offs. Couple of 20-yard scrambles. Kick a 40-yard field goal as time expires.
Attaboy.
And it's so controversial, everything that happens, that people are like, this is under the conspiracy umbrella of everything that's just gone on.
He was digging. He thought about that.
Again, a very specific scenario. He gave it the number of timeouts that Washington had left with just under a minute to go.
Give us the script.
He gave it, yeah.
Actually wrote the script in the way that you would turn it in to be acted out by actors and actresses. Mike in La Plata, you're on The Fan. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm good.
What's up, buddy?
Love the show. Just wanted to say, you know, first, I do think it's going to be a boat race this weekend. I don't see how we're going to slow down that offense. And especially with everything surrounding the team, it's just going to be a tough one to get through. And then just to the other point, I think the thing that we're really having a hard time with still is, you know, Jason Wright and his president's memo says he's going to be 100 with us, but I don't think he is. I don't think he's being honest about the date and the time and when they decided to retire the jersey. Like, all they have to do is show us one memo, one email, since we're talking about releasing emails this week, prior to this Monday, that showed they were discussing the jersey retirement. But they won't do that. And I think at this point, if they, you know, they've lost so much credibility, but just show us one thing. Show us one email, one letterhead.
And how would they do that exactly? Would, like, Jason Wright post that in his president brief, like a screen grab?
Sure, yeah, screen grab, or, I mean, there's so many sources over there. They could tell one of the employees, hey, release this to, you know, one of your news outlets.
Maybe Mike Silver could write a piece.
Yeah, I was going to say, let Mike Silver blog about it.
He could post it on the team's website on .com. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's – I'll just tell you, if I was over there, I wouldn't be trying to, like, post screen grabs to prove things. I think you screwed up. You just wear it. You own it. And now you try to move forward. You make the most out of this situation this weekend. And you correct the problem that got you here, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. For me, I think they don't have enough people around Jason Wright who know the history and that don't bleed burgundy and gold. And they got too many business people with suits who are going to do great things on the business side. But you need maybe some more of the folks that care a lot about the team. I'll bet you they gutted a ton of them because a lot of them were people that had to go. And a lot of them were people with the old guard that Jason Wright looked at and said, I'm not going to work with this person. But there's got to be more knowledge about the history than not knowing, hey, let's celebrate Sean Taylor on a day where Joe Gibbs unequivocally can't be there. Hey, let's celebrate Sean Taylor on this random day when we're already doing this alumni event, when he died on this date, and we play a Monday Night Football game 2 days after.
Yeah, the same day we announce a Coldplay concert 9 months from now, we're also going to announce something 2 days from now. Again, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about make sure it never happens again. I think this is, again, you know, my view on this thing. You can't do anything about it. I think Dan Snyder's going to continue to happen. And so, you know, I think we're in the beginning of, usually what happens is we get our honeymoon phase with the new heroes. And it lasts for a little while. Something good doesn't happen. Then it descends and it gets worse and worse and worse. Then we have the leaks and the rats jumping off the ship and the cover your ass period. I think we've actually fast forwarded in this case. And we're now in the cover your ass period. I think we're about to start that.
You just mentioned a rat. It made me think about the fact that I had a crazy experience with a wild animal last night that I forgot to tell you about. I'll tell you about it at the top of the next segment.
Oh.
Right before the Beltway Blitz.
That's a tease.
Well, it's a crazy experience.
I want to keep listening.
It was a really trying thing for me. I'm going to tell you that. We'll do that next. 4 o'clock blitz. We'll cover the Caps. We got some thoughts on the Major League Baseball playoffs. ALCS starts tonight as well. Latest on the Nats all coming up on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.